The epitaph of Benjamin Franklin. In one of his lighter moments, Benjamin Franklin, one of the most important founding fathers of the United States, author, political theorist, politician, printer, scientist, inventor, civic activist, and diplomat, penned his own epitaph. It seems he must have been influenced by St. Paul's teaching on the resurrection of the body. Here's what he wrote. The body of Benjamin Franklin, the former printer, lies here. Food for worms, like the cover of an old book. Its contents torn out, and a strip of its lettering and gilding. But the work shall not be wholly lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and a more perfect edition, corrected and amended by its author. End of quote. According to the Catechism of Catholic Church, our belief in the resurrection is based upon a faith relationship with God as creator of the whole man, soul, and body. God revealed the resurrection of the dead to his people progressively, as we will read in Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 992 until 1005. All are alive to God, even those who died long ago. The fact that Moses called God the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob acknowledges that the patriarchs are still very much alive to God. As we heard in our first reading, he is not a God of the dead, but the living, for to him all are alive. From our first reading, we heard from the force of the seven brothers with their mother who were being martyred because of their fidelity to God's law. You are depriving us of this present life, but the King of the world will raise us up to live again forever. The mother and her sons are willing to die rather than to cut off their communion with God. They know that communion with God is the best, the most important in this life, and will continue in the next life. And for those suffering persecutions because they follow Christ, St. Paul encourages us, saying, "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ." From our gospel, Jesus is teaching us two things. First, in the next life, we will live like angels. We will still know, we will still love, we will still have freedom, in fact, greater freedom. So in that sense, we will be like angels. And the most important thing, we will not die. Secondly, connected to the first, since we no longer die, there is no need of marriage. But it does not mean that there will be no relationship or no love. In fact, we will be more deeply united with one another than anyone could in this life. Marriage has two main purposes in God's plan. One is union of husband and wife, we call it unitive, and the second is procreation, or making babies to repopulate the earth. Unitive and procreative. The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attend to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels. So the next life is not a continuation of this life as we know it, But it will be different. Just like example of Jesus' resurrected body, it will be not limited anymore by space and time. You can pass through doors or through walls, just like what Jesus did during the resurrection. This is what St. Chrysostom said to the husbands that he was teaching about the resurrection and marriage. He said this, "Say to your wife, our time here is brief and fleeting, but if we are pleasing to God, we can exchange this life of the kingdom to come. Then we will be perfectly one, both with Christ and with each other, and our pleasure will know no bounds." This gives us an example of the fact that the ancient church fathers recognize that your relationship with your communion with your spouses will not be less perfect in the resurrection. It will be more perfect because we will be perfectly united to Christ and perfectly united to one another. But the sacramental bond of marriage will in fact pass away. There will be no more procreation. There will be no more reproduction. There will only be new creation. And this very point, this is the second key element, is why the Church has such an esteem for consecrated virginity and for celibacy. One of the questions people ask about Catholic tradition is, why are priests required, at least in the Roman Rite, to be celibate, priests and bishops? What is celibacy? According to the Catechism, paragraph 1579, celibacy, the state or condition of those who have chosen to remain unmarried for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, in order to give themselves entirely to God and to the service of his people. Those who are celibate, they offer this sacrifice of being married as a witness to the next life, that even when we are still here on this earth, we who are celibate or consecrated religious are already living a way of life that we expect in heaven. This is what Saint Cyprian of Carthage said, and this is what he said to them, to the women who were taking vows of celibacy and virginity. Virgins, preserve in what you have begun to be. Persevere in what you will be. A great reward, a glorious prize are reserved for you. The voice of the Lord says, those who will be found worthy of that world and of the resurrection of the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. What we shall be, you have already begun to be. You already have in this world the glory of the resurrection. End of quote. May the Blessed Virgin Mary help us to be faithful always to Jesus in this life and to help others to believe in him and be resurrected to the next life. Amen.